ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for August 15th, 2018. It's Cup Wednesday. It's the UEFA Super Cup. It's the Voyagers Cup. It's hump day, but it's cup day. First of all, good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning. I'm pumped about that UEFA Super Cup. It's got a Madrid battle.
I was going to say, I have a feeling who's going to win. I'm putting $2 on Madrid.
There you go. It's not the first time that this matchup has happened, of course.
Because, it's not the first time I do this joke. So exactly. Yeah. It's Madrid, Atleti versus Real this afternoon. The first kind of competitive game in UEFA this year, outside of Premier League. I mean, Europe. It's kind of like the first competitive game. We have qualifying. We've had Celtic not qualify for the Champions League. Brendan Rodgers might be on the hot seat. That's going to be a topic for another day. But inspired by the UEFA Cup, Dwayne and I decided that we would do a rest of Europe preview, where we did our Premier League preview last Friday, and we decided to take kind of the same questions, but not, and do a rest of Europe preview. First of all, are you excited for any of those leagues? And when I say those league, is Liga in France, Bundesliga in Germany, La Liga in Spain, and of course Serie A in Italy, which I don't think I've ever been this excited about Serie A since, I don't know, 2011 with AC Milan or something.
When they used to have the pop colors, that's when Serie A was kind of at its peak. We don't really see that anymore. No, look, yeah, certainly with Ronaldo going over, there's a lot of interest in what Juve can do there, but it's more of an interest in the top, I think, and what kind of that will mean for them. And I think the interest is more lied into the Champions League. But yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. But certainly my excitement in Europe is more, it has to do with the young Canadian going over and you know, yeah, another Canadian in the Turkish league might be where my biggest interest in Europe lies this year, to be honest. But the big leagues, we'll look at them a little.
Yeah, it's true. Kyle Lahren's doing pretty good in Besiktas right now, getting a lot of starts and getting the confidence of the coach. We'll follow Kyle Lahren's progress this year in Turkey after his move last year, actually. It's been, almost a year ago. Yeah, it has been a long time. Let's start with what league interests us the most. Which league are we most excited for? That's our first question. Dwayne, you start.
Amongst the big, I sort of mentioned the Turkish league a little bit, but that has everything to do with Kyle Lahren. So, and what Atiba can maybe do to for a little bit before whatever happens. But in terms of the big leagues, look, I enjoy watching Ligue 1 when I get a chance. I don't get to see it enough as much as I'd like. But, you know, now that it's especially the Friday afternoon match, there's always often a Friday match in Ligue 1. But I'm going to go with La Liga, which is my secondary bread and butter, always has been. And I do think that there's going to be a more interesting title race there than in the other leagues this year. So I'm going to go with La Liga as that. It is, in my mind, the best league top to bottom, too. We always talk, I love the English league, it's my favorite league, but in terms of quality, I would, you know, and this is going to be controversial, I would take the 10th place team in La Liga over the 10th place team in the Premier League. I think that there's a higher level of quality top to bottom, and that plays itself out in the Europa all the time. We see it.
Yeah, and this has nothing to do with entertainment value. For some reason, the Premier League's entertainment value, production value, and everything surrounding the game itself, Premier League is the best packaged league in the entire world, and that's why we give it so much attention, like last week's preview show. But in what you're saying, La Liga, it's true, though. Quality, and yeah, there's not as much parity, and we don't like necessarily that P word, but in the world of parity, La Liga, it's a bit of to the detriment of parity, where you have top clubs, super clubs, and we'll see this year with maybe the Real Madrid not as strong as they used to be, and that depends on Luka Modric might be on his way out, too. I still doubt that this is going to happen. I don't think Inter Milan's got the funds necessary to trigger Luka Modric's release clause, which apparently is around $750 million. So we'll see if that ever happens, which I doubt. But that could be interesting. For me, Dwayne, the league that interests me the most is Serie A, for those reasons. And this has been a narrative over the last few weeks where even agent of players are saying that, look, Serie A is the new Liga. Serie A is gearing to be very relevant very, very quickly. And a lot of top players want to go there. Ronaldo, as a pioneer, basically, I guess, is making this a reality. So for me, Juventus, Serie A, and the battle that they will have to do with other clubs like maybe Inter, maybe AC Milan, maybe I doubt AC Milan is going to be back to its former glory, but Napoli with the new coach, there's a couple of teams there that could give an interesting season, even though Juventus might win the season before Christmas. It is an interesting league for me this year.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Look, they might win the league by November in some cases, like the Scottish league. But certainly, I don't know. I think there's a little bit more quality there too. And the thing about Italy is that we can see a lot of quality sort of amongst those mid-level table teams too. They get underappreciated in this part of the world because we just are so inundated by the English league. And the English league is fun. As you said, the production values are there. It's like watching a drama. It's like a really good show that you binge on Netflix. That's what the Premier League is. And the Premier League is
Black Mirror. And I guess the rest is like a TV show, just on TV.
Yeah, and you can see the flaws in it, but it's fun. It's fun. It's like The Affair or something on. That's on Crave here in Canada, but that's a good one too. If you ever want to binge something, that's a good one. But it's a fun league. But there's some quality. There's a little deeper cuts in some of those other leagues that we don't always often give credit for.
All right, moving on to our second question. It is this one. Biggest story in Europe this season, and for me, of course, that story has already happened, Dwayne. It is Ronaldo's shocking move to Juventus, and then Ronaldo singing the praise of Juventus, saying, when I was a kid, I was dreaming of Juventus. I love the Blanco Negro. I love the colors. I love the shirt. And a prediction that I made a few weeks ago, Dwayne, happened. Guess who's on the cover of FIFA 19 with their new shirt? It is Ronaldo, Juventus, on the cover of FIFA 19 for the first time in, 20 years or so? And don't disregard the importance of this. It was one of the reasons why Juventus was happy to give money. Now they have their brand, quote-unquote. I know if you're listening to the podcast, you're not seeing my air quotes. But that brand is now on top of one of the most selling video game every single year. With Neymar of PSG. But for me, that's my biggest story. What is your biggest story in Europe in 2018-19 season?
Well, I agree, but to be a little bit different, I will say that that the old money versus new money chase in the Champions League will be a huge story. I do think that if you look at both PSG and Manchester City, you're looking at two nouveau money, nouveau rich clubs that really do have to feel that this has to be the year that they break through and truly go deep in the Champions League. And both of those clubs have had relatively deep runnings, but never as deep as they think that they could go. And I think that there's going to be a lot of pressure in both of those cases to get to a final and to perhaps even win the Champions League. And we haven't seen it yet. And I think that story will continue on. But yeah, you're right. Ronaldo is what everyone's going to be watching. But I do think that there is a nice little sort of sideline in the Champions League of that new versus old rich. It's not that new anymore. I mean, yeah. PSG's money is like about 7 years old, and City's money is a decade now, as we've said a couple times in the last little while. Like, it's 10 years next week to the takeover happen.
I love when you include French word, like nouveau money. It makes you sound so sophisticated. When I do it, it's just like normal because I'm French. But when you do it, it's like, yeah, I can pull it off. If I use like an English word in French, I'm like, guy, you're talking English or French. Change. But when you do it, it just sounds sophisticated. I love it.
There you go. All right. Well, nouveau rich is kind of something that's kind of an English term by this point, but yes.
I love it.
Talk about carte blanche later.
Carte blanche? Okay. Carte blanche. Or déjà vu. You have a déjà vu. That happens.
Yeah. Maybe.
Biggest disappointment in Europe in 2018-2019, Dwayne. What is the disappointment you see? It might happen. I have a feeling we might have the same one here.
I'm going to go a little bit big picture here, and I think that the title races are going to be disappointing, that we're going to have some runaway winners in these leagues, and there's not going to be a lot of drama late in the competition. I think La Liga will be the closest, but I still think there's going to be a gap there. So
Barca, the lack of titles. And the rest, right?
Yeah. Well, we'll get there in a minute, but probably, yeah.
I have the same one, but I made a more specific one for me, and it's Bundesliga, because no one is able to even get close to Bayern Munich, and it's going to be the same thing in 2018-2019. Not that it's going to be a bad thing, because we're going to have some probably Canadian content with Bayern Munich this year with Alphonso Davies barring injuries, and hopefully he's fine. By the way, a little side note, he's questionable for the game tonight. Just got back to practice yesterday after last week's knock, so maybe you won't be able to see him in Toronto like you wish you could, but it is something to keep an eye on. And if you're Alphonso Davies, yeah, you take every single time you need to make sure you come back healthy and not drag an injury like this up until January, where you'll be starting a new phase of your career. Now, number four. What big club is least likely to win as expected? And that one, I kind of have to believe we do have the same one. I'll start with you, Dwayne. Which is the big club in your mind that is not going to win, even though they're always usually fancied to do so?
Real Madrid.
And I have the same one.
Yeah, it's transition time there, I think, obviously, with Ronaldo. Like, I mean, they could win the Champions League again. Let's not kid ourselves. But certainly, I think if you're going to pick one of them, and then there's a lot of play there. I mean, obviously, the fact that there's more competition in that league, at least there's a two-way battle in that league, whereas it's hard to really see there being a two-way battle in any of the other big leagues that we talk about here. You know, Monaco did win that title for PSG a few years ago, but it seems like a one-off now. And
oh yeah, and then they sold everyone, and then Paris got Neymar, so the game changed. Yeah,
so it's hard to see that there. Bundesliga, as you say, I mean, Dortmund just sort of spins its wheel and then that's sort of the number two spot there, and they don't even always even get that, so it's hard to see someone stepping up there. And then obviously with Ronaldo going to Juve, it was already a gap. Napoli's a good club and a fun club to watch, but they're a step behind when the Milan clubs broke down. I mean, Italy's the league I think has the most chance to eventually get back to having some competitive balance at the top, but right now it's just not there. So you have to pick Real. I mean, you could pick Barca too if you believe in Real Madrid, I suppose. And obviously, Atleti will have something to say there as well. But Real Madrid's your answer.
What kind of season will Ronaldo have with Juve? I'll start with this one. A lot of goals. I expect a lot of goals. I expect Ronaldo to have a lot of fun with the bottom 10 teams of Serie A. There's going to be a big gap between talent here in the Serie A. And I do feel that Ronaldo's going to have a couple hat tricks, 35 plus goals this season. Have you seen the shape he's in? Like, geez, I'm the same age as him. And, yeah, I don't look 20 like he does. So, Ronaldo going to score 35-plus goal, going to win the whatever trophy is named the MVP of that league, and be, again, a contender for the Ballon d'Or, in my mind.
I think he's going to win the Ballon d'Or. Messi, obviously, you know, the two-way battle there, as always, but I think he's going to have a huge season, and just you sort of spoke to it. I think that the bottom of Serie A is not as good as the bottom of La Liga, and certainly the middle of Serie A is not as good as the middle of La Liga, and I think that gap's even greater. So that combination means that Ronaldo has taken a step back, and he's already a dominant player in the best league in the world. So you put all that into play, and I think you're looking at a massive season. He's a freak of nature in terms of his physical fitness, and he doesn't seem to be slowing down. I mean, eventually, like everyone, he will hit a wall, but I don't think it's there yet.
No, and it's not even close in my mind. That wall is going to happen eventually when, if he comes to MLS or another team outside of Juventus, which might not happen. He might retire with Juventus, which that's very probable. We'll see, but yeah, I do have a feeling with his great physical fitness that he's on right now, the motivation of justifying his move there as well, and the pressure to deliver, which he never has a problem with. Like, I think it's going to take about 3 minutes in the first game next weekend for him to score his first goal, and he might have a hat trick in the first game. I'm not surprised. And by the way, if you want to watch Serie A, so far in Canada, the rights, at least digitally for streaming, are official for the next 3 years. Guess where? The Zone. We knew it. DAZN for the next 3 years. We'll see if any traditional TV channel forks out the money for those rights to be on regular Canadian television. But right now, it's on DAZN.
I believe that there's a small package on TLM, the Italian language broadcasting network, that they've traditionally had it on before. But yeah, it's a TLM, I think it's what it's called. But that's a tiny little channel that not everyone's going to get. But for the most part, if you want to watch Serie A, you're going to need to fork out the 20 a month, which you'll also get MLS out of it. And
the Champions League.
The J-League.
Well, never mind. The Champions League. That's yeah. A big one, too.
And the A-League, there's a lot of content on there now for soccer fans. And the NFL, too, to boot in Canada.
The boot, yeah. We'll see. All right, now let's move to question number 6. And this one's a bit more Canadian-centered. Where will Alphonso Davies be playing in January? We know that he's going to get the transfer is done, just waiting for his 18th birthday and receive his ITC. He's going to be 18 in November. He's going to receive his ITC in January. And he's going to move to Munich. But where will Alphonso Davies play once that transfer is done?
I think he will play from January until May in Munich, that he will be on the main team. Now, they may loan him out next year, and that's entirely possible. But I think they're going to take a good look at him. And he may play in cup competition. He might even, you know, get a run out occasionally in the league, especially after Byron clinches, and we expect that to happen
in January.
Fairly quickly. So I think that they're going to take a long, hard look at him, and then they will decide whether this is a player that that they have purchased to resell, or whether this is a player that it fits in their plans long term, or whether this is a player that they still need more time to watch, maybe play for a Bundesliga team next year or all year in a starting role. The problem with that, though, is you don't control them. So obviously you can send a player out to whatever, I don't know, name a Bundesliga team near the bottom of
Mönchengladbach.
Yeah.
You hold me a beer.
Yeah. So you go there but Mönchengladbach has no incentive to make him star for them, because A, he's not going to be their player long term, likely, unless they buy him. And B, they're not going to get any profit from him if some other club looks at him and goes, we want him, right? So there's no incentive there. But I think he'll play in Munich next year, and more than people think. He's not going to start regularly, but I suspect he'll get 4 or 5 looks.
Yeah.
And a lot of training time.
I agree with you. And the benefit for Alphonso Davies in this situation is Munich is top heavy. They're the favorite with or without Davies. And out of the 18 or 11 players playing on a day-to-day basis, they can't afford to have one player that doesn't perform necessarily up to the standard of everyone else, but is learning at the same time, not to the detriment of the rest of the club. They can do that easily with all the competitions they're part of, Champions League, the League Cup in Bundesliga, and which is the Polka Doval, that tournament that I can't pronounce because it's in German, and the Bundesliga itself. There'll be a lot of chances for Alphonso Davies to play. And as well, let's not disregard the month break that the Bundesliga does have. It's almost a second training camp where, yes, players will have a week and a half, 2 weeks off, and then have a training camp for about 2 weeks to get ready for the second half of the season. Alphonso Davies will be there for that training camp and might have a chance to prove himself and to earn a spot in the 18 on most days with his performances in that training camp. So I do feel there's more probability of him staying in Munich and getting a look than if he was with another club outside of the Bundesliga that doesn't have the same structure, where that month off for the winter break gives him a bit of an extra chance to maybe impress his new bosses.
No, for sure. Look, I think that we are very inclined in this country, in this part of the world, to believe that players have to be a certain age before they can play. That they, you know, good enough, old enough stuff doesn't really, we say it. It's a phrase, it's a pithy phrase that we often throw out there, but I don't know how much a lot of us buy into it. And I think that this is a case where you have to sort of buy into it a little bit. They're not going to buy this kid for the story. They're buying this kid because they believe he's either an asset that they will make money off down the future, or an asset that will help that club directly. And either way, they're going to want to find out quickly.
Now, let's talk about the winners of the Big 3, Big 4 leagues in Europe. We have Ligue 1, we have Bundesliga, we have La Liga, and we can add Serie A too as well. Dwayne, Who are your winners of those leagues?
Barcelona, Juve, PSG, and Bayern Munich. Sorry.
Going chalk. We're going chalk here.
Yeah, I think Atleti has a chance. I said that a few times this year, but I think that they would have to have a near-perfect season for that to happen, and that's not – you can't predict that in any real way.
You need Griezmann to literally have a season of a lifetime for Atleti to become challenger to Barcelona, in my mind. I have the same one. Yes, I'm going chalk too. Barca, PSG, Munich, and Juventus all wrapped up before the end of January, in my mind.
Yeah, well, maybe one might last a little bit longer, but yeah, it's not going to be pretty, I don't think. And that's what he said earlier, that the competition is sort of lacking at the top. And that's something that North American fans have to wrap their head around, but not all of them do. And that's, I think, another reason why the English League is more interesting to people, because as much as people still think it's not competitive enough, there still is more intrigue at the top and throughout. I mean, last year was an exception. I guess the last 2 years were an exception, but or are they an exception? They're an exception in the sense that they were different teams that did it, right? So
yeah.
So it's, we haven't had a real title race in the Premier League in a couple of years, but there are different teams come into play, and I think that that makes it more interesting to people. But you know, there's a lot of quality to watch in the rest of those leagues, particularly if you're interested in the Champions League spot battles and things like that. There's still lots to watch.
Well, speaking of the Champions League, we'll finish the show with this one. Who's going to win the Champions League? And Dwayne, I'll start so that way you're not accused of being a bit too centric about a certain blue team. I have two teams in my mind that are going to win it. I could have had a third one. I could have had PSG, Paris Saint-Germain. But there's going to be controversies. Neymar, not necessarily friends with the rest of the team. Who's going to be the best? Cavani, Neymar, blah, blah, blah. That's going to be maybe a bit too much controversy, and like PSG does, they'll bow out in the quarterfinals like they usually do. But two teams in my mind will finally break that spell, will finally break the dominance of Real Madrid. Yes, Juventus, but the other one in my mind that has actually more chances to do so is Manchester City.
Yeah, look, I logically, I know that you're right there. It's hard for anyone who has any sort of emotional attachment to the, you know, the great enigma that is City to predict them, although they looked very good against Arsenal, and they looked very good against Chelsea in the Shield. The Shield's one thing. Arsenal's quite another, and that was something there. They have a really easy start to their season. The next five games or six games,
yeah, six games are like Huddersfield and like other clubs like this. I've seen meme already saying congratulations Manchester City on winning the next six games.
Yeah, I mean, they guess still that it wouldn't do it, but that helps them in the early part of the Champions League as well, where they can sort of focus a little bit more on it and make sure that they get that number one seed locked down. If they're going to win it, they're going to need to win their group. Absolutely. They can't afford any slip-ups, but they have a chance. I'll say that. But in terms of my prediction, I have a hunch on Munich this year. I also think Barca might have one last sort of kick at it again. I mean, it's weird to consider Barca anything other than a favorite year in Europe, but they sort of haven't really stood up and been counted in the Champions League the last couple of years. So maybe they'll have a bit of a bounce back there. Usual suspects generally are going to be included in that, and Juve is going to be the most interesting story. But yeah, if I was a little more daring, I'd pick City, but I'm not. I also, like, I hate to say this, but I think the other side of Manchester, just because of their terrible way that they play, could do something in there too.
Oh yeah, that could be interesting. Jose Mourinho again, the Champions League. By the way, the Champions League has a totally new ball to play this year. It's like a blue canvas, and then you have the white stars on it. So it's going to have a different look to it. Once you play, you won't see it. But that's the new ball that will be unveiled in the next few weeks. Not forget, this afternoon, the UEFA Super Cup. We'll talk maybe a bit about it on the next show. And tonight, the Warriors Cup Final, second leg of the Canadian Championship. Toronto at home versus Vancouver. It's 2-2. Felipe's injured. And, you know, we talked about it last week, Dwayne. Donnell Hendry's own goal at the end of the game. He punched the wall when he was back into the locker room and has a fractured wrist because of it.
Yeah, well, I guess frustration coming out there. He still can play, though, and probably well still plays. So that is something to watch. But that goal might have ended up costing the Whitecaps the Warriors Cup, because two away goals is it's something that TFC is going to feel pretty confident in heading in. And we will talk about this a lot more on Two Solitudes. Obviously, I will be at the game tonight where I will try and get as much sound as I can after the fact. I'll even look to get a sober second thoughts out after this. We had a nice interview with head coach of York University to talk about the role of Two Solitudes of U Sports.
U Sports and the KPL.
So that'll be running on Two Solitudes this week. So we'll look fun. That should be fun for all of you to listen to. But certainly, looking forward to tonight. A lot of work to do before that, so maybe I'll say goodbye now, but certainly it should be fun out there at the stadium tonight. Always good when there's a trophy in town.
Exactly, and as always, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute if you want to follow along his game watching tonight at BMO Field. You can follow me at Kev Larame and the show at Soccer Today SPN. You can find the podcast versions of our show anywhere you get your podcast and on Sports Podcasting Network. And as always, until next time, for Dwayne Rollins, I'm Kevin Larame. Have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.